blonde women with the fresh sunburns and smiles of tourists who were sitting by the little makeshift stage in the corner. He had tipped his hat to them, for he wore a hat, a spotless green fedora and lemon-yellow gloves, and then he walked over to their table. They giggled.
"Are you enjoying yourself, ladies?"
he asked. They continued to giggle and told him they were having a good time, thank you, and that they were here on vacation. He said to them,
"It gets better. Just you wait."
He was older than they were. Much, much older. But it was charm itself, like something from a bygone age when fine manners and courtly gestures were worth something. The barman relaxed. With someone like this in the bar, it was going to be a good evening. There was karaoke. There was dancing. The old man got up to sing on the makeshift stage not once that evening, but twice. He had a fine voice and an excellent smile and feet that twinkled when he danced. The first time he got up to sing, he sang "What's New Pussycat." The second time he got up to sing, he ruined Fat Charlie's life. Fat Charlie was only ever fat for a handful of years, from shortly before the age of 10, which was when his mother announced to the world that if there was one thing she was over and done with, and if the gentleman in question had any argument with it, he could just stick it you know where, it was her marriage to that elderly goat that she had made the unfortunate mistake of marrying, and she would be leaving in the morning for somewhere a long way away, and he had better not try to follow, to the age of 14, when Fat Charlie grew a bit and exercised a little more. He was not fat. Truth to tell, he was not really even chubby. Simply slightly soft-looking around the edges. But the name Fat Charlie clung to him, like chewing gum to the sole of a tennis shoe. He would introduce himself as Charles, or in his early 20s, Chaz, or in writing as C. Nancy, but it was no use. The name would creep in, infiltrating the new part of his life just as cockroaches invade the cracks and the world behind the fridge in a new kitchen. And like it or not, and he didn't, he would be Fat Charlie again. It was, he knew, because his father had given him the nickname, and when his father gave things names, they stuck. There was a dog who had lived in the house across the way, in the Florida street on which Fat Charlie had grown up. It was a chestnut-coloured boxer, long-legged and pointy-eared, with a face that looked like the beast had, as a puppy, run face first into a wall. Its head was raised, its tail nub erect. It was unmistakably an aristocrat amongst canines. It had entered dog shows. It had rosettes for best of breed and for best in class, and even one rosette marked best in show. This dog rejoiced in the name of Campbell's McInrory Arbuthnot VII, and its owners, when they were feeling familiar, called it Kai. This lasted until the day that Fat Charlie's father, sitting out on their dilapidated porch swing, sipping his beer, noticed the dog as it ambled back and forth across the neighbour's yard on a leash that ran from a palm tree to a fence post.
"Head of a goofy dog," said Fat Charlie's father. "Like that friend of Donald Duck's. Hey, goofy!"
And what once had been best in show suddenly slipped and shifted. For Fat Charlie, it was as if he saw the dog through his father's eyes. And darned if he wasn't a pretty goofy dog, all things considered. Almost rubbery. It didn't take long for the name to spread up and down the street. Campbell's McInrory Arbuthnot VII's owners struggled with it, but they might as well have stood their ground and argued with a hurricane. Total strangers would pat the once proud boxer's head and say,
"Hello, Goofy. How's a boy?"
The dog's owners stopped entering him in dog shows soon after that. They didn't have the heart.
"Goofy-looking dog," said the judges.
Fat Charlie's father's names for things stuck. That was just how it was. That was far from the worst thing about Fat Charlie's father. There had been, during the years that he was growing up, a number of candidates for the worst thing about Fat Charlie's father. His roving eye and equally as adventurous fingers, at least according to the young ladies of the area, who would complain to Fat Charlie's mother, and then there would be trouble. The little black cigarillos which he called cheroots, which he smoked, the smell of which clung to everything he touched. His fondness for a peculiar shuffling form of tap dancing, only ever fashionable, Fat Charlie suspected, for half an hour in Harlem in the 1920s. His total and invincible ignorance about current world affairs, combined with his apparent conviction that sitcoms were half-hour-long insights into the lives and struggles of real people. These, individually, as far as Fat Charlie was concerned, were none of them the worst thing about Fat Charlie's father, although each of them had contributed to the worst thing. The worst thing about Fat Charlie's father was simply this. He was embarrassing. Of course, everyone's parents are embarrassing. It goes with the territory. The nature of parents is to embarrass merely by existing, just as it is the nature of children of a certain age to cringe with embarrassment.